China's growth holds steady in an uncertain global economy. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. China released its latest GDP figures today. The Chinese economy grew 6.9% compared to this time last year, a bit more than analysts expected. The BBC's Stephen McDonald joins us from Beijing with more on this. Good morning, Stephen.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. China's GDP growth is holding steady. It's the same growth rate as last quarter. But what sticks out to you with this report in particular?
We should predicate all discussion on this with an understanding that some analysts at least say you can't trust China's GDP figures. But let's assume the trend is correct. It shows the government stepping down the economy to a lower but more sustainable level of growth.
Much of this growth has to do with infrastructure and not just in China. So how do China's investments in the rest of Asia, the Middle East, Africa, part of their One Belt, One Road program, play into this growth?
Well, there's one view that the One Belt, One Road initiative is a way of pumping out more steel here, because the more bridges you build, the more railway lines, the more ships that need to be constructed, the more Chinese steel is going to be needed. And that, for a long while, was a big part of the backbone of the economy here. And they've had to shut down steel mills, and it's causing a lot of pain. And so by driving that growth out, it's propping up at least that part of the economy. The other view would be that at a time when there's, you know, a bit of doom and gloom around economically, at least it's some way of promoting, I guess, free trade and picking up economic activity in lots of countries everywhere there is between China and Europe. And that's the plan for the One Belt, One Road initiative.
The BBC's Stephen McDonald is in Beijing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And now let's do the numbers. China's Hang Seng closed up 81 points, or 0.3% after today's GDP numbers. The Shanghai Composite Index closed down almost 1.5%, about 46 points. The FTSE in London is up almost 0.6%, about 43 points. And Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up this morning. The U.S. government remains committed to leaving the Paris Climate Agreement, but it still has $1 billion invested in the United Nations Green Climate Fund. The fund was created to help poor and developing countries manage climate change. President Trump has said the U.S. won't contribute any more money, but the White House still wants a seat on the fund's board. Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
If the U.S. stays on the board of the Green Climate Fund, American delegates get to have a say in how the money gets spent. In the past, delegates have pushed for and won things like more business partnerships with the fund.
On the whole, the system has been helpful for U.S. interests.
Leonardo Martinez-Diaz is with the World Resources Institute and was once a U.S. representative on the board. He says the $1 billion from the U.S. is short of the $3 billion promised. And American influence will dwindle if it caps its contribution at the current level. Timmons Roberts teaches environmental studies at Brown. He says it's in everyone's interest for the U.S. to remain. And we did give $1 billion.
So, you know, we should have a voice. And it also keeps the Trump administration engaged on climate policy.
And keeps the White House at least somewhat in touch with the climate change struggles of poor developing countries. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
After years of low prices, the oil market is showing signs of recovery. That's been good news for drillers and enough progress for oil companies to expand operations here in the U.S. They'd like to ramp up production, but they have a problem. There aren't enough workers. Inside Energy's Dan Boyce looks into why.
Standing on the shoulder of I-25 in eastern Wyoming, see a herd of pronghorn antelope running off that way. And on this side of the interstate, a billboard which reads, "Crude oil drivers wanted. Text crude to 865-337-8415. This is happening in oil fields from North Dakota down to Texas.
You'll see close to 200 frac crew jobs listed for North Dakota.
North Dakota Mineral Resources Director Lynn Helms at a press conference last month.
The rigs are out running the frac crews.
Companies rushing to get the oil out of the ground faster than they can fill the jobs. Cindy Sanford with Job Service North Dakota says the biggest bottleneck she's seeing is a skill set issue.
Well, the frac crews, those positions, a lot of them require a CDL.
CDL, a license to drive semi-trucks. Jason Kroll is a recruiter for Brady Trucking, a company operating primarily in oil fields. He says there are worker shortages across his industry. Many are retiring.
The graying of the workforce.
And millennials don't seem as interested. That's important because a lot of these oil field jobs, they're more than just trucking stuff around. It is manual labor.
Some of the stuff is heavy and requires some dragging, lifting, climbing, pulling.
Kroll says they're going all out to bring in new blood, setting up at job fairs, touting the company's emphasis on wellness and quality of life. Still, that's planning for the future. Even if a new recruit trains and gets that coveted CDL,
they're not quite qualified to do the job.
The other thing with these frac crews, they generally require a couple years trucking experience for insurance reasons. If newbies keep their eyes on the prize long enough to be eligible for these positions, it's not a bad payday. Kroll says average salary for his company's 40 or so open oil field jobs, about $80,000 a year. I'm Dan Boyce for Marketplace.
And remember that big data breach at online dating slash adultery site at Ashley Madison? The company announced Friday it will pay more than $11 million in a settlement deal. Users who had their data compromised can get up to $3,500 apiece. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.